You need to walk out on the promises of God by faith. I cannot please God in my flesh, what I think and my opinions. I cannot please God by the way that I live and the things of the flesh, because without faith, I cannot please God. Come on, somebody. Hebrews 11 and 6 says what? Without faith, and I must believe that God is whom I have not ever seen, but what God has said he will do, he will do. Some of you, if you look back on your life, you should have been dead by now. You should have been out of circulation, but God brought you back. He watched over you even when you were in your wrongness. If God sent his only begotten son when we were totally ungodly, we were his enemy, we were unrighteous, we were without strength. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not. Come on, I don't know what it is that you don't know and understand about shall not, but they shall not perish, but have everlasting life. The Bible says in Ephesians 4 and 30, says, I need you to know that you've been sealed until the day of redemption. And in that day, everything that a man has done in his body, both good and evil, shall be brought at the judgment, in the judgment. So I need you to understand. But Pastor Simon stopped by to let you know you don't have to be afraid. Because when you are afraid, and the fear comes into you, that means then that the enemy has a doorway. See, the Bible says we are to abstain from every appearance, Thessalonians 5, abstain from every appearance of evil. That's what the Bible said. And he says, don't give place. The Bible says, don't give place to the devil. If you ever open the door, he's going to walk in and try to, on the place, he's going to set up a stronghold. And I need you to know that our weapons are not carnal. You can't fight the devil with weapons that he has already established. You've got to fight him with the weapons of God, mighty through God. Put on the whole armor of God. Ephesians 6, I need you to understand. He says what? Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. So I stop by to let you know, you should not. God says what? It is a fixed fight. It is a fixed fight. Proverbs 3 and 25, letting us know here, according to the word of God, he says again, be not afraid. Come on, somebody. You need to just say, look, I'm not going to be afraid. Be not afraid, he says in the 25th verse of the third chapter of Proverbs, of sudden fear. Come on. Suddenly sickness came upon you. Suddenly jealousy came into your spirit. Suddenly you had this distrust. You don't know where it came from, but it came suddenly. He says, don't you be afraid when sudden fears come, neither when the trouble of the wicked. I want you to know somebody is after you right now. Somebody is even on their knees praying for your downfall. Somebody has decided that you are a false teacher and a false prophet. Somebody has decided that you are a counterfeit Christian. Somebody is envious of what you have. They're coveting what you have, not realizing that whatever God has for you, it's for you, and whatever God has for them is for them. But their fears have kept them away from the things that God has for them. How, what about you this morning? I need you to understand the Bible says that we need to be careful and realize. Come on, somebody. He says, I have not given you the spirit of fear. I didn't give you that, God said. That is the place where the enemy operates. He says, I have given you the spirit of love, of power, and a sound mind. Love, come on, unconditional love, the agape love, the love that'll love anything, love anybody, the kind of love that even before somebody does something to you, you've already forgiven them, because it's not of you, it is what that part of God that is resting in you by way of the Holy Spirit. So you don't wait to see what they say and what they do. You have already, you're waiting on somebody to come on. You're waiting on somebody to forgive, because it's not of you. You're not the same. You don't walk like you used to. You are appreciative that God has made you a part, 1 Peter 1 and 9, a part of the royal priesthood. Come on, a holy nation. You are a peculiar people. And all God asks in return is that you don't fear, but that you would learn how to worship and to praise him for bringing you. Come on, somebody. He had to come and get us. bringing us out of darkness into the marvelous light. Oh, come on, what a mighty God we serve. He does look, he has looked, he had to look beyond our faults, and he has seen, and continually he sees what our faults, and that's because of his love. Jesus paid it all, but he has not given, he's given us the what? The power of love. The power, come on somebody, love and a sound mind. And a sound mind is one that has been disciplined. And you need
me to just be still. But it's
okay. Well, saints of God, our time is up. This has been Pastor Charles Simon of New Life Christian Fellowship Ministries of Alexandria, Louisiana. We're located at 4521 Lee Street Extension. Thank you for listening, and if you want a copy of this message, or if you want to support this ministry with a tax-deductible contribution, write us at Post Office Box 5791, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71307. Again, that's Post Office Box 5791, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71307. And if you need prayer, call us at 318-715-8920. 318-715-8920. Be blessed of the Lord, for God is still on the throne.
It's gonna be all right.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria. The gospel is on the radio at 88.1. Call up somebody. Tell them it's going to be all right. KAYT. Got the gospel transmitting all day.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I
to the Lamb of God. You'll get your Bibles. Stand to your feet in honor of the Lord and His Word. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, once again, we thank you for this privileged honor to be in your house, to have you more especially in our hearts, and to hear your Word. Now, Lord, as you speak to us today, give us clarity in this Word. Give us understanding in this Word. And then give us power to practice this Word so that you'll receive the glory and we the good. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. I want you to turn your Bibles to the book of Isaiah chapter 6. I'm led again to this familiar passage of Scripture. Hopefully, new revelation will come out of it for you. Isaiah chapter 6, I want to commence reading at verse 1. Recorded are these words. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke.
Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. There are several topics, several directions we could move from in this word today as we talk about the essence of the fulfillment of a life lived for the Lord, as we talk about a purpose-driven life, as we talk about a life focused on the purpose of God for not only that man, but his mission. When we look at Isaiah and we recognize how he sees this opportunity that God permits him to share in, and how it immediately arrests the attention of Isaiah, there are some things that I want to share with you about these verses we've read in your hearing. The first thing I want us to look at is the fact that Isaiah was a man who saw God. He didn't see God in the sense of seeing him in the flesh, because God is a spirit, but what he saw was the essence of God in concentrated form. He saw God in a sense that gave him a reality that God was real and had become real to him. One of the things that you must understand, my brothers and sisters, it isn't until you experience God for yourself. It doesn't matter how much mama knows him and daddy knows him and grandma knows him and granddaddy knows him, the preacher knows him, the deacon knows him, the deaconesses and all of the other folk who know him. Until you get an experience for yourself, it's never going to affect you the way that it will once you have a one-on-one encounter with the Lord. Isaiah has this one-on-one encounter. The record is clear in verse 1 that he sees God when a very well-respected, well-loved uncle of his is removed from his vision. Sometime we have people to go in between us and God. Sometime we see God, but we see God through other people. God wants us to have a personal relationship with him. It's all right to ask you to pray for me, but I ought to have a relationship with God where I can ask him whatever it is I desire for myself. Verse 1 says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord. Now it's clear Isaiah says King Uzziah saw him. He knew him. He had a relationship with him. And my relationship stopped at Uzziah, but God wanted it to go further than Uzziah to have a personal experience with him. And so he goes to this point of seeing him after the go-between is gone, after the mediator is gone, after that person who stood between him and God is gone. He sees him also for himself. So that's clear in the word that he sees God for himself. But I want you to see something else. What did he see? That there was the glory of his person. Sharing with you what Isaiah saw, the glory of his person. Look again in verse 1. It says, I saw also the Lord. How did you see him, Isaiah? Sitting upon a throne. Listen at this. Was he just sitting there? No, the word said he was high and lifted up. Listen at what else he makes clear, because not only does he see him in the glory of his person, But something else is revealed in verse 1, and it is that he sees him in the glory of his power. Look at what the word continues on to say. And his train filled the temple. Now listen at this, because I need you to get the whole picture. He sees God, and he sees him as an exalted sovereignty. He sees him so powerfully magnified that in this temple, high and lifted up, he could not have assumed that position unless he was authoritatively there by arbitrary means, and he was the one who was controlling all things. He saw his person, the glory of his person. He saw the glory of his power. But if we keep on reading, you're going to see in verse 3 that he saw the glory of his purpose, because the word says, and one cried unto another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. Listen, God's glory extends from heaven through earth, and he fills every space and every place. And Isaiah, getting this revelation of how magnanimous God is, shows him that God is so powerful, and his purpose is that the people know him for themselves and know that he is a holy God, but he is an honored and exalted God. And when you see God as a holy God, honored and exalted as the sovereign being, that there's none greater nor more powerful than him, you get a revelation that there is nothing that God cannot do. Isaiah saw God in this personal sense and saw him lifted up in the glory of his person, saw him lifted up in the glory of his power, saw him lifted up in the glory of his purpose. But that was not all Isaiah saw, because sometimes your eyes can fool you. But I want you to see that Isaiah also was a man who sensed the Lord. And this is important, because when you see with your eyes, you tend to walk by what you see rather than by faith. That is, again, then determined and many times discovered underneath the skin in the unseen realm. So you need the Spirit to sense the things. That's where discernment comes in, through the Spirit, and you're able to sense some things, because the Spirit will bear witness with your spirit or inform your spirit, and you have a sense of a reality of what is. This man had a sense, listen, of who God was, and because of that, that was the searching of his spirit. In verse 5, look at what it says. Then said I, woe is me. Why? Look, woe is me. There is an exclamation point afterwards. He's exclaiming, I am unclean, I am unfit, I am unworthy, because several verses up it says, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. And in his presence, my brothers and sisters, I'm here to tell you, in the presence of a holy God, you begin to see how unworthy you are to be in his presence. Nobody needs to point the finger at you. Nobody needs to read your record. Nobody needs to tell you what you've done wrong. In his presence, there is a sense of the searching of your own spirit. I'm not right with God, and I'd better get right with him, because he's a holy God. I want you to see this. I want you to see, he doesn't just stop at the searching of the spirit, but there is a sanctifying of the spirit also in verse 5, because it says something else. It says, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For here is where he's talking about this sanctification, this setting him aside of recognizing again his sin versus God's holiness. And in order to be in God's presence, there must be sanctification as a part of your lifestyle. Look at what he says in this word again. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. So because he sensed God now in the inward parts of his spirit, there was a searching of his spirit to get right. But then there was a sanctifying of his spirit to be right. Because my brothers and sisters, when you come to the place where you recognize your inadequacies, your deficiencies, your undone state, your uncleansed state, your state of sin, you recognize that if you're going to deal, dwell, or be anywhere God is, you're going to be required to change your life. God's not going to change who he is to allow you in your in his presence, but he will allow you to change who you are to enter into his presence and come to another place in him. That's why, my brothers and sisters, when you get a true sense of who God is, it begins to change things underneath the skins, and you begin to sense his presence. That's in the spirit realm. You begin to sense his anointing, his calling. You begin to sense there's something more God wants me to do. You begin to sense that God is stirring up the gifts in you. You begin to sense God wants me to do more than what I'm doing. You begin to sense God needs somebody and I'm not doing anything that God can't use me. You begin to sense there is a call upon your life because you have come in contact with the one who has created you, and the one who has created you is calling you for his purpose. Listen at this, because all of us are not called to the preaching ministry, but I promise you, you got a ministry God's calling you to. All of us have not called to be missionaries out on a missionary field, but we all have been given a mission by the Lord Jesus Christ to be witnesses for him and to help seek and save that which were lost. All of us might not sing in the choir or become ushers or serve in a local fellowship, but I promise you, if you ever get in his presence, he will begin to stir you up and realize, I created you more than just to do what you are presently doing outside of his will. Listen at this. He sees in this same reality as he senses with God's power that he is strengthened in the spirit. Look at what verse 6 says. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken from the tongs from off the altar. Look at verse 7. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away and thy sin purged. Listen at this, man, his spirit was strengthened. Because before you can tell anybody else about what God is doing and about what God has done and about who God is, you've got to have an experience for yourself. You see, it's hard for me to take Brother Johnson's testimony and go around the world telling people about what God did for Brother Johnson. It's hard for me to take someone else's testimony and, no matter how well I know it, and express it as if it's my own. After I would share others' testimony, inevitably somebody would want to know, well, what is my testimony? What is my experience with God? How did I come into the knowledge of God? How do I know about him? And what makes me desire to want to share him? And see, I got to tell you, my brothers and sisters, all of our testimonies may not be the same, but all of us have had some tests that qualify us to testify. All of us have got a word that we can speak on behalf of the Lord, because all of our courses are customized. They're different one from another, but what is the reality in all of our cases is the fact that God's been good to us all. God's picked all of us up and turned all of us around. God's placed all of our feet on higher ground. God has blessed us and brought us and kept us, and never, all of us have got a testimony. Your story may not be the same, but your source is. You didn't hear me. I say your story may not be the same as mine, but your source is, if he is God. Listen at this word, my brothers and sisters. Isaiah was a man who saw God. Isaiah was a man who sensed God. But it doesn't stop there, because every level gets deeper. When he sees him, that's an awakening. And he then is stirred in his spirit. But then, as he seeks God, he then begins to sense God and the purpose that God allowed him to see him. I got news for you, my brothers and sisters. Whenever God comes into your life, it is always to impact it and to change it. When you see God, that's why God shows up in little children and begin to change their lives, and teenagers and people in middle age. And sometimes it's not until late in life that some people discover who God is. But no matter what age or stage you presently reside, if you have not met God, when God shows up, it is your time. Notice here, the record is clear. Isaiah didn't see God until Uzziah died. Now my question to you is, what's keeping you from seeing God? Who's blocking your vision of God? Who's standing in the way of you getting a one-on-one with God, entering into a personal relationship? Who are you trusting to handle your spiritual affairs where you have not yet made your personal connection with God? There are mothers and fathers praying for their children that they would come into the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ for themselves. Why? Because it isn't until it becomes personal to them will they be able to be governed by the word of God, by the will of God, and by the way of God. And so we see there is another level to this introduction of Isaiah to God. And the third issue that I bring before you is the fact that he was a man who served God. Can I tell you, you can't serve him till you sense him. And when you sense him, he's going to put a call upon your life. He's going to put and add purpose and value to your life. When you sense God is stirring in you and he is developing in you a desire for him to get closer to you, to put in you what he wants and has created you to be and to become and to do for his kingdom. And you can't sense him till you see him. In other words, experience him. God doesn't call folk to do what he wants them to do until they get into a relationship with him. And that's important for you to realize. God wants you, and when he gets you, then he will allow you to work on his behalf. I want you to see this, because Isaiah was a man who served God according to verse 5 and 8. Let's go back there and read this. He served God, first of all, responsively. Now this is important, because one of the things that you're going to note, that when you see God in the spirit realm and you experience him, and then you sense he's calling you, he's stirring you, he's advising you, inspiring you, it's for a cause and a purpose that will glorify him and bring good to you and those to whom you serve. So here's what Isaiah recognized. I'm not sensing this continual calling in my life for no reason. And he recognized, first of all, that before he can serve or answer the call, he's got to be clean. So look at what verse 5 says again. Then said I, nobody else said it. You got to understand, my brothers and sisters, when you come into the presence of God, into the awareness of God, sin is a conviction by the Holy Ghost, by the Spirit of God. You don't need nobody to tell you what is not right. You don't need nobody to tell you where you fall short. You don't need nobody. The Spirit of God will bring conviction upon you, and you will know it without anybody ever else having to say it. Look at what he says again. Then said I, woe is you. Woe is y'all. Woe is me. He didn't start pointing the finger at nobody else. He pointed them all at himself. Look at what he says. Why? For I am undone. I got to tell you, my brothers and sisters, you can never ever do the work of God, the will of God, or anything for God until you recognize that you are unfinished, you are unfixed, and you are unfit for the service of God without the relationship with God. For I am undone. Look again at what he says. He makes clear this word. He says, because I am a man of unclean lips, I can talk some trash. I can say some things, whatever comes up, comes out. I can tell you like it is. This is the way he was. But that wasn't a major problem, because look at what he says. And I dwell in the midst of people just like me.